Stay tuned for Nightline Africa, coming up right after these latest world news headlines.
Nigerians are casting votes in presidential and parliamentary elections, which were delayed for... Saturday afternoon, amid attempts by insurgents to disrupt voting in some areas. VOA's Ann Look reports from the Nigerian capital.
So I'm here at a busy polling unit on the outskirts of Abuja, a primary school where hundreds of people have been queued up, have been ready to go for several hours. Voter accreditation did get underway here about an hour late. People seem to be taking it in stride. People are calm, smiling, laughing, talking. There have been some issues with the biometric card reader machines. They seem to be having trouble verifying fingerprints. When they scan the card, the person's name and photo does show up. But when it comes to verifying the fingerprint, we keep hearing verification failed, coming out of the machine. So, you know, they've been urging people to wipe down their fingers, wash their hands. I've seen INEC staff trying several different fingers, trying them multiple times, trying to get a verification. But as of yet, I haven't seen one person's fingerprint verified.
That report by Ann Look in Abuja, Nigeria. Somali security forces have ended the deadly siege of a hotel by the militant Al-Shabaab group in the capital city. Somali Information Minister Mohamed Abdi Maher said government forces retook the hotel at around 8:30 a.m. Saturday Mogadishu time. He told reporters 20 people were killed, including soldiers, hotel security guards, six civilians, and all of the attackers. This is VOA News. Arab leaders met for the 26th biannual Arab League summit in the Egyptian resort town of Sharm el-Sheikh Saturday amid intense discussion of the ongoing Saudi-led military operation in Yemen. Edward Uranian reports for VOA from Cairo.
Yemeni President Abdrabu Mansour Hadi fled the southern Yemeni city of Aden last week amid attacks by Houthi rebel fighters and troops loyal to former President Ali Abdullah Saleh. He insists the military operation will continue until the Houthis and their allies surrender and withdraw from all territory they seized and pull out of government institutions and military bases. Edward Uranian for VOA News, Cairo.
Two European foreign ministers joined the talks in Switzerland on Iran's nuclear program Saturday as negotiators, including the U.S. Secretary of State and Iran's foreign minister, worked toward a midnight Tuesday deadline. VOA's Al Pessin reports.
The French and German ministers joined a series of meetings Saturday, holding private sessions with Iranian Foreign Minister Mohammad Javad Zarif and consulting with U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry. France, Germany, and the United States are three of the six countries designated by the UN Security Council to conduct these talks. The British, Russian, and Chinese foreign ministers are expected to join the final push to the deadline in the coming days. Officials describe the talks as tough and difficult. They say agreement is possible, but not guaranteed. The key goals of the talks, which started 2 years ago, are to verifiably limit Iran's nuclear program to ensure it cannot quickly build a nuclear weapon, and to end economic sanctions against it. Al Pessin, VOA News, Luzon.
A memorial service was held in the town of Digne-les-Bains Saturday to honor victims of German Wings plane crash in the French Alps. About 200 people, including family, relatives, and friends of the victims, attended the mass led by the Bishop of Digne, Jean-Philippe Nault. A local resident expressed her feeling on what happened, saying that it was terrible and was horrible for the families. A U.S. astronaut and a Russian cosmonaut have arrived at their new home for the next year, the International Space Station. NASA astronaut Scott Kelly and cosmonaut Mikhail Kornienko, both in their early 50s, will stay at the space station until March, setting a mark for the longest ever stay at the space station. I'm Sarah Williams in Washington.
That's the latest world news from VOA.
Good evening and welcome to Nightline Africa. We are coming to you live from the English service of the Voice of America. Thanks for joining us. I'm Douglas Impuga. Peter Clote is on assignment.
People have been very enthusiastic about the elections. As early as 6 in the morning, people have been trooping into the polling unit.
Nigerians are voting in a hotly contested presidential election.
He says 5 to 6 armed men from the terrorist organization attacked the facility with a vehicle laden with explosives.
A car bomb explosion kills 9 in the Mogadishu hotel.
We have tried to back it up with the Vuvuzela, which we have supplied to some of these people we call scouts, because their ears are very sensitive to noise.
And in Uganda, people living near national parks use plastic trumpets, vuvuzelas, to defend their homesteads against elephants. Those stories and more coming up right here on Nightline Africa. Nigerians are going to the polls to elect a president, with incumbent Goodluck Jonathan facing a strong challenge from Muhammadu Buhari. Voter turnout is said to be high, but there have been delays and technical problems, partly due to new biometric voter cards. VOA's Peter Clote is in the capital, Abuja. Hi, Peter. What's the situation over there in Abuja?
Well, all is well here. The Independent National Electoral Commission is so far doing well, as officials of them have said. They are recording no problems or minor hitches, as they call it, in the capital as the voting process continues today, Saturday.
Peter, what can you tell us about the turnout in Abuja especially?
Well, the turnout has been really, really big. People are out in their numbers, and they have been waiting patiently to go through the process with the card readers, because sometimes the card readers are a little slow, but they have been undeterred, and they have come out in their numbers to be verified and to vote. So voting is ongoing at the moment. When you get to the polling stations, there are long queues with people waiting to vote.
How serious is the technical problems that have delayed the voting in some places?
The technical difficulties are not that big. It's just that it delays the process, you know. Under normal circumstances, it's supposed to take between 3 and 5 minutes for a voter to be verified and to be allowed to go and vote later on. But sometimes the card readers are, malfunction. So it takes about 30 minutes or more to do that. But the people have been patient, and they are working with the Electoral Commission as the voting continues.
And what can you tell us about some reports of violence in some areas?
Well, there have been reports of violence in isolated places in parts of the country. Example, in Enugu, there was an explosion where an improvised explosive device was placed in a car and was detonated. Unfortunately, it wasn't very close to where the voters were, so nobody was hurt. The bomb squad was called in, and they looked at various issues. But then calm has returned. In other places, there have been gunshots and all that. But in the capital city, there was an earlier warning by security agencies that if you do not have anything doing, you do not have to be out. You just go and vote, you stay there, or you go home. But they don't want to be seeing people running around in cars going from place to place, just as part of a security measure to maintain law and order and not to and to ensure that people do not engage in acts of violence.
Given that there were technical glitches and voting started late, would they allow people to vote deep into the night?
Well, the electoral officials have told me that as long as a voter is in queue before 5 p.m., constitutionally they are allowed to vote. So it will depend on how many people are in line after 5. And the security agencies, including the police, have been urged to stay behind to provide security. So until the last person votes, they are not moving an inch.
Meanwhile, Thomas Greenfield is the U.S. Assistant Secretary of State for African Affairs. My colleague Peter Klote met her at a polling station in Asokoro near the new Capital Primary School in Abuja and asked her what she had observed so far.
So far, what I've observed has been a lot of patience on the part of Nigerian voters who have been waiting in line, many told me, since 6 a.m. Some of the polling stations opened late. People were unhappy about that, but they still waited patiently. At one polling station, some of card readers were not working, and people waited until new card readers were brought. And in those places where the card readers are working, the process moves very, very quickly. So, again, I think still waiting to make final judgments, and that'll happen tomorrow when the voting start. But so far today, we've seen the authentication process, and we've seen the voting process here, and it's been extraordinarily calm. People are waiting in line, and it really looks like an all-day process. And I know that in the United States, nobody would stand in line all day to wait to vote. So bravo to the Nigerian people, and we'll wait and watch with them. As I have told them, they have the whole world watching Nigeria today. Every eye in the world is on Nigeria, and it is up to Nigerians to show that their democracy is strong, and we are all rooting for them and hoping for the best as this election goes forward today.
Well, you interacted with some of the electoral officials. What did they tell you about some of the challenges they're facing and how are they surmounting those challenges?
They were honest about the challenges. They admitted some of the problems where card reader machines were not working, but they had procedures in place to address that. They have backup machines, and we actually saw backup machines arrive at one of the polling stations, and they were able to move forward. So this is the first time they've used this kind of technology. I expect, as others expect, that they will have some glitches, but they seem to be so far doing quite well.
How has the prospective Nigerian voters, who you said have reacted patiently, what are your views about them so far?
I think they are committed to seeing this process move forward, and they want to see their vote counted. And so they're willing to do what is necessary to see their vote counted, to see both officials and as well as private citizens come to vote. I think it's a very good sign.
That was U.S. Assistant Secretary of State for African Affairs, Thomas Greenfield, speaking to my colleague Peter Klote in Abuja. Now let's go to VOA's Ibrahim Mohamed, who is in Daura, the hometown of APC presidential candidate Muhammad Buhari. Earlier, I reached Ibrahim by phone to find out the mood over there.
Well, people have been very, very enthusiastic about the elections. As early as 6 in the morning, people have been trooping into the polling units to try and get accreditation for the vote. It was supposed to have 1 p.m., but it's almost 3 p.m. Nigerian time now, but people have stayed in line. So they are still accrediting people, and voting has not started until after the last person in line has been accredited.
So how generally has been the turnout?
The turnout has been really heavy, especially here in Daura, the hometown of the APC presidential candidate, Muhammadu Buhari.
And were the materials delivered in time? Were they able to start? You said they started a bit late.
Yeah, in many places, both the accreditation started late. And in some others, they actually have to cancel some of the elections, parts of the election, like in Jigawa State, which is just like a few kilometers from here. They had to cancel the whole elections for the House of Representatives because of the lack of material. They shifted that 2 weeks to coincide with the gubernatorial and state legislative elections coming on April 11th.
Given the number of people you said that have turned out, do you think they'll all be able to vote before the close of the day?
Yes, I asked one of the election officials here, since the number of people who are still waiting to be accredited, what are they going to do when it's time to close the polls? He explained that there is no any set time to close the polls. The only deadline they have is that everybody who needs to be accredited must be at the polling unit by 1 p.m. and that nobody will start voting until after everybody has been accredited. And they can start the voting any time. It doesn't matter. They can start it at night or any time thereafter. And they will continue to do that until the last person vote, which is any time.
Election, and as far as Nigeria and indeed the African continent is concerned.
President Goodluck Jonathan was born on November 20, 1957, in Nigeria's Bayelsa State. President Jonathan and his wife, Patience, have two children and several foster children. He holds a master's in hydrobiology and a doctorate in zoology. Jonathan joined politics in 1998, and a year later, he was sworn in as deputy governor of Bayelsa State. He became vice president on May 2007, a position he occupied for 3 years before becoming president. In January 2012, President Jonathan announced the start of a controversial plan to end fuel subsidies. 2 years later, he signed into law the Same-Sex Marriage Prohibition Act. He is Nigeria's first president from the Southern Niger Delta oil region.
Nigeria heads to the polls March 28th for a landmark election. What happens there matters throughout Africa. Turn to Voice of America for the facts. VOA reporters are in Nigeria and surrounding countries covering the campaigns and the issues and counting down to the March 28th election and beyond. Special Nigeria Decides 2015 coverage is underway now. A commitment to Africa from Voice of America.
This is Straight Talk Africa on the Voice of America. What is your opinion about today's topic? Call us at 202-619-3111. U.S. country code 1. When you call, remember the following. Ask only one question. Keep your comment brief and turn down the volume on your radio or television. Now let's return to Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Gidui. And let's go back to Abuja, the nation's capital. Good evening, Kayode Ido. Good evening.
I'm here, but I can't hear you. I can't hear your question.
You cannot hear me? Good evening, Kayode.
Sorry, I can't hear your question. I'm here, but I can't hear your question.
I'm afraid that we do have some technical difficulties. We hope that they will be cleared so that we go back to Nigeria and, of course, to the INEC headquarters for its perspective. Welcome back to our special edition of Straight Talk Africa, the second of three programs dedicated solely to the historic Nigerian Paul. Our distinguished guests are Dr. Okenwa Nwosu, the National Coordinator of the Goodluck Jonathan Global Campaign Team for 2015, and Sylvester Okele, the National Chairman of the USA Movement for Buhari Osibanjo Campaign. He also is the newly appointed African representative of the National Democratic Ethnic Coordinating Council of the Democratic National Committee, American political party here in the nation's capital. And last but not least, Dr. Iyabo Obasanjo, distinguished fellow at Boston University's African Presidential Center, the daughter of former Nigerian President Olusegun Obasanjo. Dr. Obasanjo also served as senator for Ogun State, Nigeria's National Assembly, from Iyabo 2007 to 2011. She joins us via telephone link up from the U.S. state of Massachusetts. First of all, Iyabo, it is a pleasure, of course, to host you for the first time on Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you for having me.
You're most welcome. And, of course, gentlemen, it's always a pleasure hosting you on Straight Talk Africa. Sylvester, you've been here for many times, really, except for the good doctor.
Thank you for the good
The first doctor. Time that we're hosting you, and we are honored.
It's a pleasure to be here, sir.
You're most welcome. Later in the program, we'll give you the audience a chance to call and talk with our guests.
The number to call is 202-619-3111. U.S. country code is 1. Let me come immediately. Are you surprised by the manner in which the election is proceeding so far?
Not really, because Nigeria is used to these type of headaches.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've tried all kinds of approaches, and the card, the PVC cards and the card readers, just another innovation in the whole mix. And I hope as time moves along, we are going to work our way out of them, you know, find a better way to make sure everybody who wants to vote votes and all votes are counted.
Given what you have heard and that you really feel that all votes should and indeed must be counted, how does it feel for a Nigerian like you living in the diaspora and yet you have no unfettered access to your fundamental right of choosing your leaders?
Fantastic question. Thanks. In fact, I feel absolutely disenfranchised. But there is hope. I don't know if you're familiar about the national conference
mm-hmm.
that just concluded last year, and the recommendations that are sitting with the presidency
mm-hmm.
in terms of empowering the Nigerians living in diaspora
mm-hmm.
is one of the items recommended by the conferees.
I see.
To be put in place.
What is the initial reaction so far from Asorok Abuja?
The Asorok Abuja, in fact, I don't want to deviate from your major question, but the National Conference is actually the reason why Jonathan is winning
mm-hmm.
this election.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? There are two things. Number one is the National Conference,
mm-hmm.
and number two is this postponement of the election.
I see.
So two of them have played into his own camp.
What about you, Sylvester? How do you feel to be what your colleague, in fact, terms as being disfranchised?
Well, the first question on the about the diaspora, I think efforts are underway, and that will benefit the country, just like every other nation, America. Even some West African countries do vote here in the diaspora,
mm-hmm.
Considering the number of Nigerians that live overseas. So it's a huge benefit to our country. On the national conference, I was on your show on the first time that it was decided, and I supported that because Nigeria, we do not need division. We need to come together. We need to find a solution to keep running.
Mm-hmm.
But with what is going on today, what surrounds the election, like my brother has just said, I don't see the winning of the president because of national conference or the postponement of the election. I do not see that. And I hope that the people will decide today and tomorrow.
Obviously, the good doctor feels that what Nigeria needs really is more of the same. Continuity.
Mm-hmm.
You seem, of course, to be coming from the perspective of change. Why change? Why fix something that is not broken?
And a lot has been broken, first of all. Let me start with this. Martin Luther King says that the ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in times of comfort and convenience, but where he stands at times of challenge and controversy. Nigeria has a lot of controversy, and change is imminent. First of all, insecurity. No matter how rich, how prosperous a nation is, if there is no security, I think there is a failure there. Secondly, unemployment is about 24% today. Who are you? What is this a transformation agenda? Transformation needs to start from inside or from the home, not the infrastructure that we are building. So when you have a nation that has such enormous wealth, but the people poverty is increasing in the country. Poverty is about 71%. Unemployment, 24%. So what is that we need to have the incumbent sitting? We need a change.
I see.
And this
see.
Is the voice and the concern of Nigerian community.
I think your point is well made. I gather that we now have an opportunity to talk to Kayode Idowu. Good evening, Mr. Idowu.
Yeah, how are you, Shaka?
I am hugely terrific. How are you in Abuja?
Abuja is fine, thank you.
Give us a report card. To what extent would you say that today's poll met your expectations?
Yeah, thank you, Shaka. The authorities today in the field were part of the sitting problem that we have to deal with. Of course, we will have learned that things come out a lot better than they did this morning. But the chief of the task is that the process is going on. We just made some changes, some innovations in the system. Apparently, these innovations have their own challenges in kicking in to the process. But all in all, the elections are coming on in some areas as we speak. They are already counting the ballots and they are tabulating the results. In some areas, they are still voting. In a very few number of polling units, we have that they have decided to do it tomorrow. And when they come tomorrow, they will vote and it will be added up to the results that are already coming in from where the exercise took place today. So, anymore, it is not as useful as one would desire, but that is what we say that. We did not have an exercise in place.
Well, I have to apologize, first of all, Kayode, frankly, that the sound coming out of your telephone is not environmentally friendly. I hope you'll find some space in your beautiful Nigerian heart to forgive me if I ask you something that you have already said. We have reports that turnout has been very heavy. Do you agree with that? And if, in fact, it has been heavy, how does it compare with the turnout 4 years ago?
Turnout has been very heavy. You are absolutely right with that. And again, it shows the measure of, I mean, for some of us, we see that as indicating the measure of confidence that is being poured in the political process in Nigeria. You know, there was a point that it seemed to Nigerians that it was not worth the time to participate in the electoral process. But this time around, a lot of people have found that. I can't give you the specific numbers yet, but it promises to be very high, I mean, higher than we had in 2011. Going by the clusters of crowd that we have seen. And that looks like an indication of the fact that Nigerians are having more faith in the electoral process.
So you definitely think that you are in a position to feel very confident that at the end of the day, you are likely to deliver a free, fair, transparent, and credible election.
Yes, you see, Shaka, I can tell you that in spite of the challenges that we experience, the process is very well on course. We have put measures in place to ensure that the elections are free, fair, and credible, and that the elections will be. Regardless of the challenge that we had with the candidates in some places, in many other places, the candidates were used and they accomplished the purpose for which the device is being deployed. So, at the end of the day, we are going to have free, fair, and
thank you. Thank you very much. That was Kayode Idowu, the spokesperson for Professor Atahir Jega, the chairman of INEC. He joined us from Abuja. You are tuned into Straight Talk Africa. We'll have more of a discussion in a moment, but first, here is Mariama Jaro. Take it away, Mariama.
Well, thanks, Shaka. Still to come, we'll reveal some of the passionate feedback we've received from our audience through social media. Their thoughts on who should win today's presidential elections. Let's start with our letter of the week.
Peter Elinas from Dodoma in Tanzania writes, Mr. Buhari should win. I think President Jonathan had his chance, but due to the Nigerians' views on security issues, things have not been easy for him. For 6 years, residents in northeastern Nigeria have been terrorized, and yet now that effective measures have been taken to ensure that people can vote, we're supposed to put the same people back in power. Mr. Buhari should have a chance. Through his military experience, he can neutralize the situation.
Like Voice of America on Facebook. Follow VOA on Twitter. Join VOA on our YouTube channel. Like, follow, join VOA.
This is Straight Talk Africa on the Voice of America. Call us now with your questions and comments. The number 202-619-3111. And the U.S. country code is 1. Call direct.
Thank you very much, Esther Githui, and welcome back to Straight Talk Africa, live from Washington. Once again, it's time to bring in my colleague and social media reporter, Mariama. Take it away again, Mariama.
Well, thanks, Shaka. Incumbent President Goodluck Jonathan of the People's Democratic Party and former military leader Muhammadu Buhari of All Progressive Congress are locked in a tight race for Nigeria's top post. Turnout for today's elections has been good, and it's expected that some polling stations may have to remain open for extended hours to accommodate all voters, even going even into Sunday. Leading us to our question of the week, asking, which Nigerian presidential candidate are you supporting and why? Well, we asked the question and you submitted your thoughts. And without further ado, let's begin with a Facebook comment, a Facebook post from Ezeora Alphonsus Ugochukwu from Lagos in Nigeria, who writes, I'm supporting President Goodluck Jonathan. He's made our economy the biggest in Africa. He's established federal universities in all states and significantly improved our electricity. He also established the Al-Majiri schools in northern Nigeria. Our railways are working and corruption had been reduced. He is a humble man, and under his administration, Nigeria has become a world investment destination. Vote for President Jonathan. Well, a great show of support for the incumbent president here. Another reminder that we are tweeting live today. Use the hashtag VOA Nigeria Decides 2015. And if you haven't yet, please, please follow us on Twitter at VOA Shaka. Let's go to a tweet from Mezzi Clements, who writes, we must vote wisely. Vote for the man who will unite us and say no to a man who will separate us. And while we're here, let's take a look at another tweet from Eyitayo, who calls himself the king of Ogun State, who begs to differ, tweeting that we need to create a new beginning for our nation. Well, Shaka and guests, a lot of passion on all sides. Your take on these comments.
Interesting. Senator Iyabo Obasanjo, are you there? Senator Iyabo Obasanjo.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now. Have you been following us?
I've been listening.
I am sorry that we couldn't come to you when we were supposed to do that. It's because we experienced some problems with the telephone line up to Abuja.
Oh, that's understandable. It's okay.
What does this say about the incumbent president, the man who occupies Asorok right now?
What the connection not working says about him, or just
the technical,
what the election says?
The technical aspect.
Nigeria is a developing country. There are lots of issues that need to be resolved. some of them have been mentioned by the previous speaker, employment. For example, the issue of people in the diaspora, Nigerians in diaspora voted. I beg to differ with most of the two earlier speakers who are from opposite camps. I've been in diaspora on and off for the past 25 years. I've actually participated on the ground, as Mr. Idowu said. It's logistically, Nigeria is a difficult place to run an election, and problems will, because there's just so many places that are far from everywhere else, but there are lots of people, and I think that we have to logistically get a lot of things right, like this card readers, and make sure that we have elections that are internally very transparent and work well before we involve people in diaspora also to vote. I'm not saying they don't have a right, but right now, I think the critical thing is making sure that people that are within the country and are Nigerians can vote efficiently and can choose their leaders within the society. And my other issue is, for example, some of these technical issues, roads, telephone lines that don't work, electricity. I live in Boston. I turn on my lights every time I want. I turn on water, it's gone. It's snowing out there. My roads are great. What right do I have to vote in an election where when I call anybody in Nigeria, they haven't had electricity for 3 days? Am I really experiencing what they're experiencing? And should I vote based on what they tell me, or should I be part of that and vote based on what I am experiencing? So I think people want to say they have a right because they're citizens, but at the same time, people that are experiencing things on the ground have a different insight to who their leaders are and what is effective in their society. It's so different from what I read or what I hear sometimes. So I think our primary goal in Nigeria should not be getting people in the diaspora to vote, but creating transparency and efficient elections internally that work and giving services to the people.
I see. I see. Well, Mariama, do you have any more feedback to share with us, please?
Indeed, let's move on to a posting from Alhaji Yakub Balami from Abuja in Nigeria, who writes, Muhammadu Buhari is incorruptible. He can bring a needed change to Nigeria. Corruption has eaten too deep into our nation's fabric. Our youth have zero education, no future, and no employment opportunities. Many of our youth are going to Benin or Togo in search of knowledge. We are beggars, and our debt profile is growing with no visible changes. And we are almost a failed state. Well, a pretty strong statement there. Another Facebook comment comes from Patricia Namdi of Kampala, Uganda, who writes, we need a president that is capable of ending Boko Haram terrorism in Nigeria. We need a leader who can unite the North and South, eliminate corruption, and create employment for Nigerian youths. Shaka and guests.
Interesting, interesting. Doctor.
Yes, sir.
The good doctor. You just heard concerns of people. And even with all that, you still think that Nigeria deserves the same man who sits right now in Aso Rock?
Well, let me bring another aspect to this discourse. That is the negative aspect of the opposition camp that is making the incumbent president look like a rose. One, the candidate himself is a big drag. I was in Nigeria.
Which candidate are you talking about?
General Buhari.
General Buhari, a man that is arguably perhaps the most incorruptible leader that Nigeria has yet had.
General Buhari is one of the most corrupt generals that rule Nigeria.
Empirical evidence.
Mm. Empirical evidence. He was the first managing director of NNPC.
So?
And you know what happened? He was found that during his tenure, the sum of $3 billion
Unfortunately,
this was in the 1970s.
That is correct. Unfortunately, okay. My research.
And when the probe on it was getting to a head, that's when he made the coup.
By the way,
to overthrow the government that was about to probe it. Look, let me tell you, incorruptibility of Buhari is
by the way,
a bogus.
He headed ruse. That office under the administration
PTF.
Of. If I remember correctly, a man called General Olusegun Obasanjo.
Thank you.
Okay.
After, of course, the great you remember General Murtala Muhammad had been assassinated downtown Lagos.
Okay.
From what I have seen, frankly, there is no evidence to support your allegations. In any case, thanks very much, Mariama, for bringing us this week's audience reaction.
Well, we'll do it for today's social media segment. Just a reminder that we appreciate all the feedback, whether it's in social media form or using other means to communicate to us. Please, please keep them coming. And if you are a new fan, just drop us a line at africatv@voanews.com. Once again, our email address is africatv@voanews.com. Or post your comment on our Facebook page. Just enter the keywords, Straight Talk Africa. Be sure to visit us online at voaafrica.com. Or you can join our YouTube channel. Just sign up to VOA TV to Africa. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter. Now, let's take a look at what's on tap for next week's program.
Next week on Straight Talk Africa, Nigerian voters are electing their leader for the next 4 years. We'll discuss the outcomes next week right here on Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much and welcome back to our special edition of Straight Talk Africa as we bring you Election Day coverage. Our distinguished guests are Dr. Okenwa Nwosu, the national coordinator of the Goodluck Ebere Jonathan Global Campaign Team for 2015, Sylvester Okere, the national chairman of the USA Movement for Buhari Osibanjo Campaign, and last but not least, Dr. Iyabo Obasanjo, distinguished fellow at Boston University's African Presidential Center, the daughter of former Nigerian President Olusegun Obasanjo, of course, not once, twice, and of course, third military leader of Nigeria. Well, once again, I have to say frankly that, ladies and gentlemen, I am profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to host you on Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
You're most welcome. And I gather that we do have, a lifeline of the show, which is a telephone call from Ewan Felix from Houston in the U.S. state of Texas. Good afternoon, Felix.
Today.
How are you?
I'm good. Let me go straight to the point.
You have 1 minute, Felix. You have 1 minute. What is your question?
Okay. So my question goes to Mr. Sylvester. I want him to tell the whole world how the man Buhari that truncated Nigeria's Second Republic democracy will now turn around to be the Messiah Nigeria has been waiting for, and then not even to talk about the Ruta who is backing him in the person of Bola Ahmed Tinubu that is taking 10% of Lagos State and IGL. Then on the last note, it was when Buhari was Minister of Petroleum that he loaded out $2.8 billion that was confiscated by Idi Amin in Uganda. So I want the gentleman Sylvester to convince the whole, tell the whole world how Buhari will be the Nigerian saviors today. Thanks very much. I'll take my comments off the air.
You are most welcome, Felix. It would be even better, in fact, if you have some empirical evidence, perhaps reflected in some videotape. Like some of the videotapes that I have seen. Well, why don't you react to that?
Thank you. I'm glad you answered that question, which also my brother here, Satan, has mentioned it. You see, we live in a world where you can't just tell someone A and Z thinking they're not going to find the truth. You will already you know, you investigate it and you know that there was no fact backing that. And the one thing that concerns me is that all the good luck worshippers have never mentioned anything good luck would do to help the unemployment issue or the insecurity issue. All they are digging is things that are unfounded. Now, talking about General Buhari, every Nigerian knew that this is the only man who has the highest integrity among the candidates. And this is the only man who who would talk to you boldly and work on merit, not rewarding mediocrity. Imagine a situation where we have a president rewarding someone like Ansari. Some thugs are the people in the administration. And that's why we're having problem. How are you going to have someone like that even in the Aso Rock?
It is very interesting.
This is something Buhari cannot do.
It is very interesting, frankly, that neither of the two gentlemen have even talked about his program that is popularly known as WAI, War Against
Indiscipline
in Nigeria.
Thank you.
And no one has even talked about what is considered to be the Omar Diko affair of June 30th, 1984, when General Buhari was the military leader of Nigeria, and he went after this gentleman who had allegedly embezzled $6 billion. A reminder that you are tuned in to Straight Talk Africa. To participate in our discussion, please call us at 202-619-3111. US country code is 1. We'll continue our discussion in a moment, so please don't go away.
General Muhammadu Buhari was born on December 17, 1942, in Nigeria's Katsina State. In August 1975, General Murtala Mohammed appointed Buhari as the governor of Northeastern State. On March 1976, General Olusegun Obasanjo appointed Buhari the Federal Commissioner for Petroleum and Natural Resources. In December of 1983, Buhari was one of the leaders of the coup that overthrew the democratically elected government of President Shehu Shagari. On August 1985, Buhari was overthrown in a coup led by General Ibrahim Babangida. In 2003, Buhari contested the presidential election as candidate of the All Nigeria People's Party, but lost to General Obasanjo. On March 2010, Buhari dumped the ANPP and floated his party, the Congress for Progressive Change. On April 2011, Buhari was the CPC's presidential candidate in the general election, but he lost to Goodluck Jonathan.
We are able to touch on things that are important to people on an everyday basis. We hope that our viewers are getting inspired when they watch our show. They're getting a view of the world from a different perspective, things that perhaps are not in their immediate vicinity. Today, I could put in on the show something that is a little different, a little unique, and this gives me that inspiration to come to work.
If you like today's show, please write and tell us what you think or give us some suggestions. Be sure to tell us what station you're tuned into. Our address, Straight Talk Africa, Voice of America, 330 Independence Avenue Southwest, Washington, D.C., 20237, USA. Or send us an email at africatv@voanews.com. Log on to our website at voaafrica.com. Or post your comments on Facebook, keywords Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much. Senator Iyabo, how do you respond to someone who will say there was a gentleman by the name General Olusegun Obasanjo, retired but certainly not tired, when he came back to power in 1999, he promised to light up Nigeria. You talked earlier about electricity. What happened?
I'll get to that. I want to add something about all the accusations about General Buhari, because I was alive and well during his term as the military general. And I can't say anybody is incorruptible, but I think the 2.8 that was missing. He was the one that was actually trying to find it. It was not. It didn't get missing during his reign. That was one of the reasons Umaru Diko was brought back into the country under some terms that were probably not right. But I think that it's an egregious thing for us to, for people to be calling in and accusing him of what he didn't do. And I don't think that serves the purpose of politics, because so I just wanted to clarify the man's integrity, which is being abused by people for political purposes. And as for electricity, the plan that was left by Olusegun Obasanjo in 2007 was a plan in which gas that is located in the southern part of the country will have, and some of them had started when President Yar'Adua took over. Because gas is the cheapest way to force to do electricity in Nigeria, small gas power generating plants will be set up in the south where there's gas naturally and where the gas pipeline reaches now. And the gas pipeline reaches into the southwest, but it hasn't gotten all the way to the north. This is a way, because most of the power now is generated from the north, from Kenji Dam, which is in the middle of the country, but technically in the north. That way we start to relieve electricity. When President, and that plan was already on, the turbines were being put on, President Yar'Adua came in, and this is part of Nigeria's problem. They looked at the new power plants, and they said they were all in the south, not understanding why they were in the south. They canceled it because they were not in northern Nigeria and decided to put more money and effort into the Mambila waterfall power generation, which is also a good thing to do. But the thing is that you cannot do a dam power generation in less than 20 to 25 years. A gas power generation you can do in 4 to 5 years because it is there the gas will pump it. Now, he canceled it and went back and started from scratch.
I see.
And then, this is the same plan that now, what is his name?
Goodluck Jonathan?
Yes, sorry. It's a very old Nigerian name to my palate. But anyway, he's now continuing. He then further privatized electricity in a country where most of the people are too poor to pay for electricity. How do you privatize electricity, which is an essential basic human right?
I see.
You privatize it, and now there's even less electricity than before because the people that bought it want to make money.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm afraid, Senator Iyabo Obasanjo, time is not our best ally. So I think that we'll wait until you come to our studios in Washington so that we can get deeper into that particular issue. Thank you so much.
I look forward to it.
Well, I gather that we just lost the call, actually, from Nigeria. Let me come back to you. I think I have to come to you because earlier I spoke with the good doctor. Okay. Why do you support your candidate, and why do you frankly think that he is perhaps the best thing for Nigeria since sliced bread?
Thank you. Considering the situation of Nigeria, number one, insecurity, the unemployment, pervasive corruption, looting, just like the Bible talk about.
Yeah, but you are talking about security. Supporters of Goodluck Jonathan Ebele, a man, of course, whose name reflects God's wishes, will tell you that he is delivering, even though it is at the last minute.
It took him 6 years to wake up to consider what to do. It took him almost 18 days to even believe that something happened in Chibok. But let's keep that aside. Let Nigerians decide. Because if you cannot protect little kids, how are you going to defend the nation? I would rather vote for a nanny that knows how to keep my children from car accident and everything than to vote for President Goodluck Jonathan. Because he has failed Nigeria. He has no clue about security. He has no clue about unemployment. People are suffering. They're just manipulating people. Nigeria have a slogan that politicians use them and dump them. And it will be a very sound warning for youths to be careful because they're going to use them again and dump them. People need to think about the future. And people that are attacking Buhari need to think about the people that are suffering in the village. Millions of people have no connection to survive.
How do you respond to some people who are saying that, yes, perhaps corruption in Nigeria is more than it has ever been before, and yet someone will come and say, wait a minute, if that is true, how come we have this classic book, Man of the People, written by Chinua Achebe back in 1966 about corruption? And that corruption, in fact, is been part of Nigerian culture.
Shaka, I thank you very much. It is embedded in the culture in a way because of the political dynamics in the country. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you something. There's a problem in Nigeria, and if you can create a program where we can come and talk about it, educational imbalance in Nigeria. The amount of illiteracy in the north, and you need to know that. Do you know the percentage? I mean, there are two studies done. The rate of registration in the elementary school and the rate of entry into university level. The North is at least two decades behind the South. These are the things to address. Let me tell you why Jonathan is the one to go with. Jonathan is the only civilian president we've had since Shagari.
You know, it is interesting that you talk about the backwardness of Northern Nigeria, at least in terms of modern education.
I was about to respond to that.
It really didn't begin with Nigerian independence. It even goes back during British colonialism.
But I'm saying that if you want a modern nation state, we must address it. Because Boko Haram was a very highly educated man, and he was from the north. He was a teacher. I mean, but again, we're talking about the percentages now.
Yeah, so you need a person. If you need a person who can develop Nigeria.
If Nigeria has to move forward, education has to be the number one.
Nigeria needs its own Lee Kuan Yew of Singapore.
Let me tell you something. The issue of bringing what I call a jaded jackboot.
Well, you come
and change Nigeria.
Nigeria needs an inclusive participation.
That's why there's a national conference.
And if you find out our women are on the other side, the youths are being neglected completely. Look, here in Washington, D.C., any area there is massive unemployment, anywhere in America, there is a tendency that crime going to increase. Boko Haram, where did it start? What did General Azazi say?
Your prediction.
My prediction is that Nigerians will decide wisely if it is not being swayed and rigged. General Buhari will win the election.
Senator Iyabo, your prediction, 10 seconds.
I agree with the speaker. I think that because there's so much wrong, I think that in a free and fair world where people are looking for a better country, General Buhari should win.
I see. Your prediction?
My prediction, there are two polls out. And those two polls...
It depends what kind of poll
they
are.
One of the most respected. Jonathan is going
to
win.
Time happens not to be
win handily.
Thanks to our distinguished guests, Dr. Okenwa Nwosu, the National Coordinator of the Good Luck Jonathan Global Campaign Team for 2015, Sylvester Okere, the National Chairman of the USA Movement for Buhari Osibanjo Campaign. And last but not least, Dr. Iyabo Obasanjo, Distinguished Fellow at Boston University's African Presidential Center and daughter of former Nigerian President Olusegun Obasanjo. She joined us via telephone link up from Massachusetts. Thanks to our affiliate stations, along with our viewers and listeners, we thank you for tuning in. And don't forget to join us Wednesday, April 1st, at our regular live broadcast time, 18:30, as we bring you post-election reaction and analysis of today's historic vote. On behalf of the Voice of America, thanks for tuning into Straight Talk Africa. In the meantime, get better Nigeria and Africa, not bitter, please. And remember to keep the African hopes alive.